Do you think that it would be all right to question other people's understanding of the gospel? If you came into a church and sat down in the Sunday school class and you heard people discussing about the Bible, and if you felt they were wrong, should you just accept what they said? Should you just keep quiet about it? Or would you possibly think that in case they didn't understand, you could maybe help them? Paul must have had thoughts like this in mind in the passage we're going to be studying today. We're going to be studying in the book of Acts in the 19th chapter, and beginning at the first verse. And if I read it to you, you'll understand just how this happened. And it'll tie in with other studies that we've recently had about Apollos, you will remember. You'll remember Apollos was this gifted preacher who was such a strong, public, eloquent orator, but who, when he came to Ephesus and Priscilla and Aquila heard him preach, they recognized that sincere and earnest as he was and zealous as he was, he didn't know the whole gospel. And they took him aside and showed him the full meaning of the gospel. He went on from there preaching some more. And now we come into this from another angle in chapter 19 from the first verse. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. This is where Apollos had been. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Do you remember how, when we were studying about Apollos in chapter 18, in verse 25, it said about Apollos, knowing only the baptism of John? Well, you see, if a preacher knows only as far as John the Baptist, that's as far as the people will know. The people in the congregation are not likely to rise higher in their understanding than the preacher in the pulpit is. And if the preacher in the pulpit doesn't understand the gospel beyond the forgiveness of sins, the people won't understand the gospel beyond the forgiveness of sins. Now let us look more closely at this. Paul came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Now, who is a disciple? By the way, this word disciple has no special bearing on a man's inner spiritual condition. You couldn't start in by, it wouldn't be wise to start in and ask yourself, were all the disciples saved? That's asking things that aren't said. Were they all born again? No, we don't know that. What then is a disciple? He's a learner. A disciple is a person who is an inquirer, who has come to learn. I don't know whether or not you have heard this in your own personal experience, but some of you will know that part of my work has to do with the teaching of young men who are preparing for the ministry. And just the other day, I heard one of my former students get up in front of a group of people. He was introducing me when I was coming to speak, and he got up before a group of people and told them that when he came to the seminary, he was not a Christian. And he became a Christian while sitting in my classes and listening to me interpret the scriptures. Now, what does he mean to say? Why did he come to the seminary? He came to the seminary honestly because he wanted to learn the gospel in order to preach it. Why did he want to preach the gospel? Because he believed it. You see, he had become a disciple. He had become a learner. And what I think what he really meant to say was, he didn't fully understand what was in the gospel until he had come into the classes and began to study the scriptures in the way in which we were able to help him to do it. On the mission field, we have a company of people that we call inquirers. They're people who have joined up with classes to study, but they're not yet ready to say that they are Christians. But they are that much interested that they will come and study and try to find out what the Christian gospel is. In our various churches at certain times of the year, we have what we call communicants classes. And we encourage young people and others, too, to come to these communicant classes and learn what the church believes and what the church teaches, in order that they might personally understand it and come to the faith of the church and enter into the full Christian experience. Now, when you find this, among other things, in this first verse that I read to you, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, and I've just been saying these disciples are people who worship God and who were seeking to know the truth. Don't miss this fact that when Paul came into a community, the first thing he did was look up the Christians or look up the believers. His custom was to seek out the worshipers of God and came and associated with them. He said unto them, and by the way, this is all one sentence, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Now, let me suggest this to you. This was not Paul's customary way of meeting people. I maybe shouldn't put it that way. Let me just say, I don't think it was. I don't think that when Paul would meet on the street, a person on the street, and you would introduce me to him, and you'd tell Paul about me, that I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not sure that Paul would turn around meeting me for the first time and say, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? I'm not sure of that. But I am thinking something like this, that if Paul was introduced to me and he and I were together, and Paul would meet with me, I don't know how long, maybe several times in services, prayer meetings, be around with me, talk with me, I think that then he would raise the question, as much as to say in language something like this, say, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Meaning to say, there's something about you strikes me as strange. You know, I often have wondered to myself, what Paul saw? What did Paul miss in those disciples at Ephesus? What did Paul see about their testimony that attracted his attention to this? You see, you can't tell by looking at a man on the street whether he has the Holy Spirit. You can't even tell by looking at a man in church whether he has the Holy Spirit. You can only tell, I expect, by listening to him, by sharing with him. Now, when they believed, you understand what happened when they believed. That means when you accepted Jesus of Nazareth as the Christ, when you accepted Jesus of Nazareth with his death on Calvary's cross as the sacrifice for your sins, when you recognize that Jesus of Nazareth is truly the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you committed yourself to that, did you then receive the Holy Spirit? Receiving the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? Well, think about how you do when you receive Christ Jesus. You remember how John writes, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. I would suggest very simply here, and maybe another time I can dwell on it more, that receiving the Holy Spirit would be recognizing him for who he is. The way you receive a guest into your house, you recognize the Holy Spirit for who he is. You honor him because of who he is. You give him the place that belongs to him. He's God. You obey him. You're willing to let him guide you and direct you in your ways. I think that would be included in receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, when Paul asked this question, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Why would he ask this? What would he be wondering about? And in that connection, I bring it up to myself. I say, what would he wonder about me? What would cause him to ever ask by looking at me and listening to me and sharing with me? Under what circumstances would Paul ever turn around and with wonderment ask, say, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? As much as if to say, you don't talk like it. You don't act like it. So now perhaps I might help you by understanding the way I understand this, share with you what I think he missed. I think when he listened to these disciples that he noticed that they were conscious of sin. John the Baptist was, you see. I think they were probably depressed in their own weakness. They felt terrible because they were such sinners, such as you read in the latter part of the 7th chapter of Romans. I think that's the way they felt. I think they could have said to each other, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Or perhaps like Job, they could have said, "I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself in dust and ashes." For instance, when you come across a person who is sincerely wanting to do the will of God, and this person is just troubled and burdened and obsessed with his sin, and he just, it's true, he is a sinner, and he hasn't gotten away from it. And he talks about his sin, and he says, "I'm just terrible. I've done wrong, and even when I try to do right, I don't get it done. I'm just not what I ought to be. I'm weak." All of which is true. That would cause a person, would cause Paul to wonder whether he had received the Holy Spirit. Why? And I'm going to suggest this, that in their talking, he would have missed reference to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some people talk about the things of the gospel, and when you're listening to them, you never get the impression that they have any personal dealings with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you see, the work of the Holy Spirit is to take the things of Christ and show them unto me. And if I never talk about Christ, if I just talk about my sin, and that's very real, and my sin is really an actual thing, but if I don't go beyond that, it means that I haven't known that Christ Jesus died for my sins and God raised him from the dead and that he is now in the presence of God interceding for me, that he has given his Holy Spirit to me, that his Holy Spirit is in me, and his Holy Spirit now will deliver me from sin in order that I might do the will of God. Those things I think he wouldn't have missed. Now I think another thing, that however they would talk and however they would pray and however they would sing, I think Paul might have missed their joy. There was no joy. Because if a person just thinks about how wrong he is, and just thinks about how wrong, much wrong he has done, he won't be happy. You can't get joy until you know your sins are forgiven. And you won't be real sure your sins are forgiven unless the Holy Spirit reminds you of this and shows you things. And there's much more true we'll have to take up the next time. We'll be going on with this study in our study tomorrow. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to understand the whole truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and especially help us to understand how we have been given the Holy Spirit to be in us, showing us the things of Christ at all times. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.